Hello, live stream.
Let me fix my hair.
Energy, energy, energy.
Yeah,
showtime.
So are you officially the warm-up guy for the show?
Could be.
Now remember, you're not just watching this show, you're part of the show. Because, folks, it's your energy that all of these performers you see are going to feed upon. So let's really let them hear your excitement.
Let's start by practicing. Since it aired, I think I have not watched the episode of News Radio that we attended.
Yes.
I think I've never seen it since it originally aired. And, you know, presumably my woos are in there forever.
Saved for time immemorial. But no one ever heard Jason's voice again in any other medium.
No, that's true. It would be a shame if it was lost.
That was the first fatal sip of beer that led young Jason Snell onto a lifelong addiction to demon grape.
And that man was Richard Nixon.
Yes,
and
when warm-up comics were mentioned, my mind went to the warm-up comic who annoyed us at the news radio taping.
Yeah. No, not only annoyed us, failed to connect us with Paul Sims, who had actually invited us to come.
Yes.
He was like, wait until the show's over and then just let us know that you're here. And we went to the guy who was the warm-up comedian afterward, because he's the only person we saw around of any authority, and said, hey, can you do us? And he was like, I'm already off, guys. Sorry, see ya.
My time is up. Enjoy the veal.
Yeah.
Please, please, you vultures. I know that I'm a fabulous warm-up comedian, but I don't have enough time for all of my... Please, please, back.
Mr. Dr. Science Theater 3000. I actually was just watching to prepare while eating my dinner and preparing for here. I watched I Accuse My Parents.
Oh.
They all left. Well,
went with a McNulty recommendation.
Parents, so I killed them.
Well, it was on Netflix. There are only like 8 of them on Netflix, and that's one of them.
There are a bunch of them on YouTube.
Yeah. Well, we'll get there. How lovely. I want a speech contest.
How lovely that they've all fallen into the public domain so quick.
Yeah, isn't that nice? Like that My Camera movie that we watched last week.
As far as I know.
Well, sure. Why not? I will be the judge of if you're good or not, Scott.
Oh.
I say he's good.
Ooh, burn. Yeah, he's good.
Oh. That quickly.
That was almost touching.
Up. Almost. Bad touching.
It's not that good.
Where did Steve touch you?
Show me on the Tom Servo where Steve touched you.
All right.
Right in the gumballs.
Here we go. Yo, hey-o.
Wasn't it wonderful to be like watching like the second rerun like at 1 a.m. and then you're drifting off to sleep and then are jolted out of the sofa at 3 a.m. And now next on Comedy Central, Crank Yankers.
You know, I mentioned Short Attention Span Theater. For those who don't know, Jon Stewart did co-host a news-style program on Comedy Central back in the early 90s, called Short Attention Span Theater, long before The Daily Show was even a glint in somebody's eye. And when I say it was news-like, it had a desk and anchors. It was John and Patty. I forget Patty's last name. But it was John Stewart. Okay. And she was held against her will by John Stewart.
Yeah.
And
really nearly ended his career.
However... rather than doing news or fake news or anything, do you know what they showed? They showed stand-up clips. Clips of stand-up comedians standing against that one brick wall that all the stand-up comedians stand in front of. Good times. Yep. Good times. Anyway, Mystery Science Theater. It's had nothing to do with that. It's just good times. Little Comedy Central reminiscence.
We're just already into bonus track territory.
Yeah.
Are we going to get to that whole Higgins Boys and Gruber section? No? No.
So, Steve, I thought we might start with you because you've had some post-MST3K connections to some of the people who did MST3K. Have you not?
I have indeed, although in the context of Riff Tracks as opposed to MST, obviously, because this was long after the show was canceled. So
should we tell the audience what Riff Tracks is? Or
Richard Basehart. Sorry,
as though we haven't mentioned it every other episode. Yeah, no, Riff Tracks was Mike Nelson's post MST, actually quite a bit post MST endeavor. And I heard after the show was canceled, I heard that he had moved out to San Diego. and he had been working with Legend Films, providing some commentary tracks of the witty variety for some of their colorization DVDs for things like, I think they did Reefer Madness and a couple other older.
Reefer Madness was crying out for colorization, by the way. Crying out.
Well, I mean, it really, you have to be able to see the colors to really appreciate that film. Anyway, yeah, so he had worked with Legend, and Legend talked to him about potentially spinning it off into MST3K style MP3 commentaries. Or he talked to them about it, and they agreed to it. And so we set up a little interview with him, and that's in our TV podcast archives for anybody who's interested in checking that out.
Yeah,
great story.
So you're a close personal friend.
Cool story, bro.
Of Mike
Steve
Nelson.
Steve Lutz's brush with celebrity.
Yeah.
Well, since then, I've met those guys for beers on multiple occasions and hung out with them and done some writing for Riff Tracks on a couple of occasions, but you know.
All right. That is the spiritual descendant of MST3K, since Jim Mallon holds all the rights to MST3K and will not give it up for anything, apparently. So.
Well, and then, of course, there was Cinematic Titanic as well, but I haven't had beers with any of those guys, so the hell with them.
So screw them, yeah. I agree.
Jerks.
Yeah, who do they think they are?
Is that the Turing test for humanity, that if you have beer with somebody, that proves they're a real person and not a simulation?
It is for me.
Okay. I'm not faulting your logic. I'm just clarifying.
Well, it's like another one of those films that I discovered well before MST was a film called Puma Man with Donald Pleasance.
Nice.
Right? And we saw that. And my father had fits. He's like, what is Donald Pleasance doing in this film? He's a great actor. And I said, yes, but he's working. And he went, well, all right, fair enough.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, Michael Caine was in Jaws: The Revenge.
Michael Caine. I could have accepted my Oscar.
I absolutely love those kind of careers. I hope this isn't a rat hole, but I love the careers of these actors where you're about to make fun of, oh God, this that guy who's always in those horrible movies, and then you follow up on them and like he's 72, 73 years old. He lives in this $7.3 million house. And he's like funds all kinds of charities, and you ask, well, how did he wind up being a quadrillionaire? Well, Andy, because he never turned down a job, and he worked his butt off, and he was working three jobs a day for 40 years of his life. That's how he had a good time every day that he was working. Oh,
you see this orphanage? It was built by House of the Blood Beast.
Yes. Finish that Michael Caine quote. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Because that's one of the greatest quotes in all of Hollywood ever.
Oh yeah, it's, you know, he wins the Oscar for Hannah and her sisters.
But he can't accept it because he's in the Bahamas shooting Jaws: The Revenge.
He's got that picture up on the screen. And later everyone said, well, you know, didn't you regret that? He goes, no, because that bought me a wonderful house.
Oh no, that's the even better quote is that when people like would try to give him crap about that Jaws movie, they said, no, I haven't seen it. However, I have seen the house that it paid for, and it's marvelous.
That's right.
Can I just say how sad that theme always made me at
I know.
The end of the episode?
Yeah. Blow. Oh.
Always.
The love theme from MST3K played in that slow, depressing.
Let's have
you know, they actually got pretty horrible horrible ratings for every Turkey Day besides the first one.
Really?
Yeah, wow. They continued to do it just because they were.
What
writing.
Else are you going to put on?
They had nothing else to put on. No. Yeah, exactly. But that
you can
that
only
first
show
episode,
Weekend at Bernie's so many times.
that first marathon did pretty well, and then afterwards it was always kind of bad. In fact, after a while, Comedy Central stopped paying them to make the bumpers, so they stopped making the bumpers.
Mm. Oh, jeez.
Which is why you had either the third or the fourth of those Turkey Day marathons were footage from some fan's party as they waited for the first episode of the new season.
That's sad.
Oh. Yes. They were always somewhat mistreated by the networks.
Yeah.
There was a honeymoon period, and then towards the end, things went sour.
Yeah. They'd realize what they got.
Show.
Yeah. As reflected by the haunting love theme.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind.
And Santa can be our regular Saturday.
What's
going to
be the stinger for this episode at the end? Together.
I love the stingers.
Oh, stinger.
The stingers too, yeah. Yeah. That was great.
It's going to be Steve talking about picking his shorts.
Again.
Which is another thing they ripped off on Cheap Seats. They always had a stinger at the end from the...
Mitchell!
The stinger didn't start until episode 200 and I want to say 5.
So you mean Rocket season, Attack, season 2, episode 5?
Yeah, Rocket Attack USA, I think, was the first stinger.
Yay!
And it wasn't a very good one. It was just an old guy as the bomb went off.
Time for
bed. I can tell you what it was. It was the old guy going, help me.
Oh, that's right. He says, help me.
Yeah.
That's right.
It was a very good one.
You're right. You're right. That's a word.
Want it? Slap.
Also, I should say, I strongly disagree with the assessment that comedy movies can't be riffed, because I actually like Catalina Caper quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Catalina Caper's great.
That's another thing. They're always the. Did anybody ever have the phenomenon where there are like one or two episodes that like were aired maybe once or twice and never again, and you just for whatever reason never got around to seeing it until just recently when someone put it up on YouTube? I've been having that. That's what really set me off this Mystery Science Theater 3000 riff on YouTube a few months ago. It's like Catalina Caper is finally. Oh my god! I can finally see Catalina Caper.
I own the DVD of Catalina Caper from.
Yeah, that was actually in their first or second DVD set, I think.
Yeah.
It was pretty early one.
Oh, wow.
Actually, it was volume one. Yeah.
Well, that's too old media.
Yeah, and those ones disappeared pretty quickly.
I don't know if you're familiar with someone by the name of Steve Jobs, but it's all going to be in the cloud in the future.
Oh, in the cloud.
Interesting. Hmm. All right.
I want to hear about the MST3K comic book.
Oh, yeah.
That never happened.
It was, okay, there was a Valiant Comics got the license to do a Mystery Science Theater 3000 comic book.
Prince Valiant?
Maker of Prince Valiant and like the Exo Manowar.
Exo Manowar, yeah.
It was doing just fine for what it was. And the idea was going to be that they were going to get a whole bunch of public domain comics, and that we were going to script, like there were going to be silhouettes on the bottom, and we're going to script like riffs on these bad comics.
Wow.
And that's about as far as it went. It wasn't going to be like me writing the whole comic. I was going to be one of what I guess was going to be like at least like a dozen people that were going to be getting these old comics and then like writing stuff, and they'd put it together however they wanted. But around the time after I agreed to do it and they were sending over contracts and stuff like that, I think it was Acclaim, some video game company bought Valiant and decided that all we want is the intellectual property. We don't want to actually publish comics anymore. So that was the closest I ever got, except for my one published joke and credited joke in Ren and Stimpy Comics written by Dan Slott. That's the closest I ever came to seriously having a real comic book writing credit. It still hurts.
That would have been a quality wagon to be hitched to, too.
That would have been, again, if nothing ever came of it, except for I could simply say in my really colorful background of writing for a whole bunch of different people, if I could say, oh, by the way, I was one of the writers on the Mystery Science Theater 3000 comic book. Mm. That's something good to have in your back pocket when you don't know anybody at this party and you can't think of anything interesting to say to anybody else. But say, hey, if it comes up to Mystery Science 3000, I'll say this, and that'll be my one interesting story, and then I'll spend the rest of the night nodding and nursing my drink. But at least I'll have had one interesting story, but now I don't even have that.
Well, that's still technically true. You just never got around to actually writing one, so you could still tell people that.
And
I can still tell people
that. And he has right here.
Exactly. Would have been great if I've gotten paid for it, though.
Yes.
We won't blow your cover, man.
Because even today, I'd be trying to weasel like a pro badge for San Diego Comic Con. I could just wave this pay stub from 1994.
Have you seen my credits?
I should be up on that panel next to Dan Slott and next to Kirkman and next to I'm just as good as they are. Mm. In the sense that I also. If you're a plant, you would say that he converts oxygen to carbon dioxide just as well as any of the best writers in comics today. After that, it gets kind of
iffy.
I don't want to make direct comparisons because I don't really come out very well.
All right, I'm gonna call it. Thank you all. This was fun.
Push the button, Jason.
I am gonna push the red button very soon. Goodbye. Goodbye, chat room.
We have podcast sign.